You see, I don't know what it took for her to get here this morning. Neither do you. And I don't know what it took for you to get here. And you don't know what it took for me to get here. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. 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 It was love that lifted me, our Father and our God. We come to you again, Lord God, as humble as we know how. I want to tell you thank you, Lord, for how you watched over us all night long and how you woke us up early this morning, still clothed in our right mind. For that, I want to tell you thank you. God, these are your people, and this is your word. I am your servant, and let the church say, amen. 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 We give honor, amen, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this morning. And ushers, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, I used to usher, and I know how it feels to have on them heels. Amen. And I also want you to have your Bible so you can follow with me. Amen. Because, see, sometimes when the ushers sit down, they have to ask, where are they? You know, or what do they say? Amen. All right. We give honor again to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on today. Thank him for this opportunity to stand and minister his word. I thank God for Pastor Leach for allowing me this opportunity to stand in Morning Star one more time after being gone for 10 years. I honor the First Lady, Miss Charlotte Leach. I said, I honor, we honor the First Lady. Amen. Amen. And we honor these ministers, these preachers, these mighty preachers that's of the gospel that surround me on the roster as well as in the pew. Amen. We honor the deacons and the trustees and all the other officials. You know, and I honor you, my brothers and my sisters. And I honor my husband, Brother Ernest Sally, whom I love dearly. He's still my Prince Charming. Amen. Amen. It's a Pope Frog that don't praise his own poem. And I hope I didn't miss anybody. And you heard the scripture that was read earlier today, coming from Luke chapter 16, verse 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Amen. Now, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I praise the Lord this morning because, and I'm going to give you my text in a minute. I praise the Lord this morning because we've all been afflicted, but we're not defeated. And look at you now. If you're still able to rise, you're not defeated. You survived the worst for the best. I praise the Lord this morning because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver us out of them all. I praise the Lord, you see, because I was young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now, I came to encourage you this morning to make plans to go to heaven, because my subject is, prayer meeting in hell is going to be too late. Hallelujah. I thank Reverend Young for singing that song. Out of all that I do, I got to go to judgment. Out of all that I do, you know, you can't hide sinner. You can't hide. I thank God this morning again for Brother Galloway. And you know, I talked to him earlier this week. And I thank God for the encouraging words that he had for me and different ones that have came up to me and gave me encouraging words. I thank God for you. You know, because prayer meeting in hell is going to be too late. Now, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I would have lost my mind. You see, now I praise the Lord because in spite of the traps that Satan set for you, if it had not been for the Lord on your side, you would have lost your mind too. Amen. How you get this out? Amen. You see, Satan knows what kind of cheese to put on your trap. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. He studies you the way the coaches study the game film of their opponents. Oh, y'all just watched the Super Bowl, you know. Now, Satan knows your weaknesses. He knows your weak spot. He knows what it takes to get you to slip up. Satan know you. You better know him. He knows which temptations has the best chance of success against you. How often have you ended up saying, I promised God and myself that I wouldn't do that again. And yet you did. That's because Satan knows what works on you. Whether it be women, whether it be men, whether it be alcohol, whether it be beer. You see, when I was young, I used to drink malt duck. That was a sweet drink. Hallelujah. I don't guess nobody else in here ever drank. Hallelujah. Whether it be food or whether it be Facebook, the devil know what it takes to get you started, to mess you up. You see, we're never exempt from temptations. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus and not on other people and listen to his voice, you'll be all right. Now, wrong desires and temptations happen to everyone. Don't feel like you're being singled out this morning. You see, God helps you and me resist temptation by helping us to recognize those people and situations that give you trouble. Amen. Amen. Now, using the right scripture at the right time to deal with the right problem at hand. 3 times Satan came to Jesus in the wilderness, and 3 times Jesus said, it is written. Now, so to you, my brothers and sisters, when Satan discovers his strategies against you are no longer working, he'll go looking for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. My mouth keep drying out, but the devil is alive. You see, I'm on an assignment this morning. My praise is not an act. My praise is not a performance. My worship is for real. Now, all of you have an assignment that nobody else can't fulfill. Somebody needs your smile. Somebody needs your love. Somebody needs your gifts. You see, we're all a part of God's divine family. Why? Because we are a product that came straight from heaven. You see, I praise God with you because trouble, situations, and circumstances are designed to bring the best out of you. There's some good and bad in all of us. Hurt people, they're going to hurt other people. You see, people will hate you for trying to live right. That's when jealousy steps in. People will love you, and then they'll turn around and turn on you. In other words, the yeast in dough will make it rise, but the devil in folks will make them rise. Hallelujah. Every time you turn around, we're wearing more frowns than Ringling Brother Clown, talking about we're Christians. You see, you can't help anybody, and you all bound up and chained up and twisted up yourself. It's time for us to lay aside every weight which so easily beset us. The word says in Romans, if it be possible, live peaceably with all men. So it's time for us to stop doing something permanently stupid because you're temporarily upset. Why? I'm glad you asked. The time has come when judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin in us, what shall the end be of them that not obey the gospel? You see, he didn't say it was going to begin in the bootlegger house. Nor did he say it was going to begin with the prostitute. Nor did he say it was going to begin with the drunk on the corner. He said it's going to begin where? In the house of the Lord. Prayer meeting in hell, gonna be too late. You see, every one of us gotta give an account of himself to God. You better choose whose side you wanna be on. Cause see, that's gonna be your final exam. Now, so you don't have to worry about whose side Sister Sally's on. I'm on the Lord's side. I ain't in no cliques. I'm on the Lord's side. I've had my share of ups and downs, and I'm going to tell you a little bit of my testimony before I go on into the subject, before I go on into the text. November 05, I had a massive cancer in my head. They had to permanently remove my left upper jaw. They had to remove the roof of my mouth. They took a muscle from the left side of my head and made me a roof in my mouth. Don't feel sad for me. They removed all my teeth except for six. You see, I can't chew. My food has to be tender enough, so I have to take my tongue and mash it to what bone that I have left. Hallelujah. Sometimes I see people laughing and making fun of me on the sly. But I'd rather go to heaven with 16 than to bust hell wide open. I'd rather go to heaven with 16 than to bust hell wide open with a plate, partial, or a pool set. One year ago, my husband was sitting in a chair at home and he went unconscious and stopped breathing. But thank God he's here today. January 2012. I had open heart surgery. The doctors took my heart completely out of my body. And at some point, they had to stop it for 5 minutes. And when they tried to shock me back, I didn't come back. They had to shock me and shock me again. Now, God brought me through that. Not only on the operating table, but 5 months ago, I was asleep. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, my gallbladder ruptured. While laying there in the hospital, I did like Hezekiah. I turned my face to the wall. I began to call up my own record. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know what it takes for you to get your breakthrough. And you don't know what it takes for me to get mine. Sometime I have to do like David did. Woo! Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Now, no matter what you go through, I found out you can't kill what God has anointed to live. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Whatever you're going through, you too anointed to die in your situation. Don't die before your time. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. You see, I hear people say, you know, it don't take all that, but you don't know what it takes for me. Matthew 7 says, you shall know them by their fruits. We got a lot of fruit inspectors. Mm-hmm. People that you hang around will cause you to be contaminated, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Now, this ain't no shouting message. You can shout off of somebody else's message. Now, I know this is Communion Sunday. It's a good time for us to repent, because prayer meeting in hell is going to be too late. Singing is going to be too late. Preaching is going to be too late. Missionaries is going to be too late. Organists is going to be too late. Drummers. Mm-hmm. Ushers. It's going to be too late. I don't care what position you hold. Mm-hmm. If you ain't right, you on your way to hell. Now, verse 19, we coming out of Luke 16. Those that got your Bible. You say the rich man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. In other words, this rich man was a Pharisee. And the Pharisees loved money. They considered wealth to be proof of a person's righteousness. Now, we got any rich people sitting up in here? They believed that rewards and punishments were limited to this life, and there was no hereafter. We find out that this rich man was dressed in fine clothes. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with looking good. Now, y'all, I break adjective, pronoun, synonym, adverbs. I know we got some teachers and some college professors, but I'm 63. And all I ain't got now. But you will understand what I'm saying from a baby on up. Now, they believed that there was no afterlife. And like I say, the man looked good. Now, there's nothing wrong with looking good. I understand that he ate gourmet meals. Now, there's nothing wrong with staying fit. There's nothing wrong with eating the right foods. There's nothing wrong with living in a big house. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. This man was so rich. He enjoyed the best things every day. Now, saints, it doesn't matter how big your house is. Nor does it matter what kind of car you drive. Nor does it matter how much money you got in the bank. One thing for sure, our grave don't always be the same size. You're going to be buried 6 feet under. Now, that was a homeless man. I may not read all these scriptures, but y'all can't come. My mouth keep getting dry. That was a homeless and a very poor man named Lazarus, whose body was covered with sores. He was often put at the entrance of the wealthy man's house. Now, this Lazarus that we're talking about is not the one that Jesus raised from the dead. It's not Mary and Martha's brother. Now, we find out that this Lazarus was so hungry. He wished he could be fed the scraps of food left on the floor under the rich man's table. Now, as he laid there, the dogs would come and lick his sores. You see, now, I don't know how long this went on, but after a while, Lazarus died. He was carried by angels to a place in the arms of Abraham. One long after that, probably, the rich man died, and he was buried. It's saying he found himself in torment. Now, I can imagine as he looked up and he looked around, I can see him looking off in a distance, Abraham holding Lazarus in his arms. You see, now, in this narrative, Jesus let the wicked observe what the others were doing in the afterlife. Now, we don't have the time that we think that we have. Prayer meeting in hell is going to be too late. If you can't take the heat, you better plan to avoid it right here. Because this is the dressing up room, right down here. You see, now he shouted out, "Father Abraham, show me some mercy. Send Lazarus to dip his finger in the water and cool my tongue. I'm suffering in these flames. It's hot down here, and I'm in agony. Now I need you to put a pin right there because I got to tell you a little bit about hell." There's a program that come on TV entitled Cops. And the song says, "Bad boys, bad boys, what you gonna do when they come for you?" Now, I'm sure they're talking about the police. But this morning, I'm talking about Satan. Bad boys, bad boys, bad boys, what you gonna do when Satan comes for you? Hallelujah. What you gonna do? In my parents' day, they used to say, if you don't stop, the booger man gonna get you. But if you acting crazy, he don't want you. He don't want you. Satan ain't after nothing he already has. Now, I know I ain't talking about nobody up in here. But if the shoe fit, you better wait. The only reason that we're under attack is because you decided to live right. Now, Satan will attempt to extinguish your faith. The older saints used to say, "I will trust in the Lord." Then they say, "I'm going to treat everybody right until I die." And then they would say, "If I don't wake up in the morning." Now, that's what the old saints used to say. Mm-hmm. Now, are we going to treat everybody right until we die? I asked you a question. Are you going to treat everybody right until you die? Now, why do you think Satan accepted God's challenge when God said, now put your hand to yourself, point to your own self, have you considered my servant? Put your name there. Because the devil thinks that he knows you better than you. You see, the enemy may have taken my teeth. And he may have taken some stuff from you too. But he ain't got me. He can have them teeth. Because see, when I see Jesus, like I told the doctor, I ain't worried about no teeth. Because Jesus got them. And I get them when I get there. Now remember, that's reason I say, God uses me from little children all the way up. I may not use the big word, but you'll understand what I'm saying. Heaven is heaven, and hell is hell. Now remember that the rich man said, these flames is hot, and I'm in pain. Now in hell, there's no water. There's no air conditioner. There's no fan. There's no escape route. And Lord knows there's no pain medication. You're going to eat fire for breakfast. You're going to eat fire for lunch. You're going to eat fire for dinner. You're going to eat fire for midnight snack. You're just going to eat fire. Now, I can imagine Abraham looking directly at him saying, son, you seem to be forgetting something. That while you live, your life was full and overflowing with comfort and pleasure. You had everything good. But while Lazarus' life was full of suffering and pain, he had nothing but problems. So now Lazarus is in the time of comfort and you're in the time of agony. Besides that, there's a deep ditch, a big canyon. A great dark place that separates you from us. Nobody can come across over here, and you can't cross over there. You see, now, these men had something in common. Their job description. They were both beggars. The rich man continued to plead and beg. Please, Father Abraham, I beg you to send Lazarus to my father's house. I have five brothers there, and they on the same path that I was on. Now, if Lazarus warned them that prayer meeting in hell is too late, they'll choose another path, and they won't come here. You see, now I can imagine Abraham saying, why should I send Lazarus? You see, your brothers can read, and hallelujah. Your brothers can read what Moses and the prophets wrote. They better pay attention to that. Now, Father Abraham, they are already ignoring the law of the prophets. Some people are already ignoring the law. Hallelujah. You rather look at Facebook than to face this book. Hallelujah. But if someone came from the dead, they listen for sure. They changed their way of life. Now Abraham replied, if they're not listening to Moses and the prophets, if they're not listening to Leach, Galloway, and Hicks, if they're not listening to Young, Robinson, and Tim, if they're not listening to Arnett, Evans, and Smith, Sally, guess what? They won't be convinced if someone came from the dead. Now, why would people not be convinced? Because I can imagine God saying, I died, was buried, and rose. And people are still not convinced. They're still on their way to hell. Now, what kind of example are you setting before your saved and unsaved loved one? If God would call you home right now, where would you spend eternity? We spend time getting our bodies in shape. We spend time looking good in the mirror. Yeah. Now this morning, how much time did you spend looking in God's mirror? Do you recall that children classic entitled Snow White? That was a beautiful and evil queen that had a talking mirror that always told the truth. When she looked in the mirror at her reflection, she said, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" The mirror replied, "You are the fairest of them all." But the queen had a stepdaughter named Snow White, who was growing up to be a beautiful woman. One day the queen asked the mirror, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" The mirror replied that there is a young woman fairer than you. The queen did like some of us. She flew into a jealous rage and sought to get rid of Snow White. Now, we don't have to talk. We don't have talking mirrors, but we do have a mirror that speaks to us and tells us the truth about our character and our relationship with God. Am I right about it? Hallelujah. I know there are times when storms come in your life, you know, and they give you little or no warnings. Storms are real and they are powerful. Sometime a storm will miss you, and then again it will hit you direct. Storms are going to come as long as we follow Christ. Now, how long have you ever seen a storm last in your life? It won't last forever. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Because some of us want everybody to understand things the way we understand. And we want this one and that one on our side. But again, I say, you better get on the Lord's side. He's the only one going to save you. Hallelujah. Let us stand. Hallelujah.